Well, it's a gorgeous day. I appreciate you all joining us and spending your Sunday morning with us. Thank you for being here. My name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio. And so we are going through a series, and the series is called There Is, which is a super cool title. And it comes from this verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians 4:4, it starts, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And so this is kind of the rally cry for our mission. This is just being united in this, being united under God, being united together in hope. And so this is the fourth week of this series. I do encourage you, if you miss one, they are on the Rio website. You can check them out. But this is just kind of a little recap. The first week, Steve talked about being disciples. And so a disciple, the word means a learner. And so specifically, it's one who follows the teaching and the teacher. And so our goal, and Steve kind of laid this out, is to be disciples of Jesus and to follow him and to learn from him and to follow what he teaches and also just to follow him. Where is he going? And so in that, there's just kind of a call to be united and come together as disciples. Come together in prayer. And so if just a few of us are praying, there's a small amount of power. If all of us are praying in our lives, this church has phenomenal power. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons in the entire world. And so as we together pray, and maybe not necessarily sitting even in the same room, but as we together pray and cry out to God, there's power. And so he called us just to be united in prayer and be united in service, be united together. And then part of it is we're doing a fundraiser. And so the fundraiser, we're asking people to make kind of contributions for the next 2 years. And we're trying to raise a pretty big chunk of money. And that's to pay my salary and also to have some money for just the church to like be able to implement ideas and to do things. And so I think for me that's been pretty challenging. So I did the same message over at our airport campus, and man, it was tough for me. I've just been like wrestling, and so for me, I came to a relationship with Jesus. It'll be 20 years this fall, and I tried to navigate what it meant to be a disciple, what it meant to follow Jesus in the midst of school. And it went by in a blink of an eye. It went by really fast. There were some great times. And then I graduated, and I got a job working manual labor, and I worked for a job getting landscape rocks and selling them to people who want landscape rocks. And it was a really hard job, and I tried to navigate, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus through this? And during that time, I went to the emergency room a couple times. It was a little bit of a dangerous job. And then I got married, and I decided it wasn't really what I wanted to do my whole life. And so I went back to school and got a teaching certificate and started teaching. And I taught for 3 years in a little high school in a little town called Greeley, Colorado. And I was there, and I tried to navigate, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus as a teacher? And I remember those first weeks of teaching. It was so scary. It was like, man, teenagers are kind of scary, but then you get a whole room of them. And it's like, it was scary. And I tried to navigate that. And then after 3 years there, we moved to El Paso to help plant a church. And so we came here, and I came without a job, and I found a job here at Bowie High School, and I've been teaching there for 9 years. And I've been trying to navigate, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus at Bowie High School? And we started a family, to have a family, and to be a disciple in the midst of that. And so it's interesting, that chapter of my life is closing, and now I'm going into, in October I was ordained as a pastor, or pastorized, I think that's funny, but. And so I've kind of been navigating, you know, bivocational and what that looks like. And so to go into full-time, be on staff full-time is honestly scary. There's some scary parts of that to me. And it's not just the money, it's just what do I do? How do I do that? Am I sufficient? Can I find God in that? And so I've kind of been wrestling through that, and that's kind of the call, is to be disciples. And just a note on the fundraiser, I really appreciate Steve's heart in that. One of the things he said in all of these things that I really appreciate is, if you have $1 a month to give, or if you even have 1 penny a month, you're like, I'm making a contribution for 1 penny every month for the next 24 months, then that is significant. And that is like, I'm in this. I'm together with you. And the same with all of these areas. Prayer. Some of us have more time than others. With service, some of us have more time for service, more things. But if we unite just in a little bit, there's some power together. And I think it's even hard to say this, but it seems like there's a certain amount in our modern world where we've become kind of consumers of God. And Jesus never threw these huge concerts and just said, come and enjoy this concert. And concerts are great. I love going to concerts. But Jesus wasn't just about being a consumer, but about being a part of something. And come and be a part of this. Come and follow. And so there is that like call, and it pushes something inside of us, inside of me, that's like, I wanna consume. I wanna just go, and I don't know. Enjoy the band and leave. I don't know. And so a call to more to, and then the second week, Steve talked about some intentional ways that we want to live this out, of being disciples and making disciples. And I don't know if that list was overwhelming or encouraging, but there's a lot of things we do as a church that's intentional. We have youth group on Fridays, and the youth actually go to the park and they give out ice cream floats, root beer floats, I think, to anybody who asks a question about God. And they engage in spiritual conversations with their peers in the hope of making disciples of Jesus. And in the meantime, being disciples of Jesus. And there's just a lot of intentional things we do. And if you look at it, it's like, wow, that's busy. That's a lot of wonderful stuff. And then there's so much stuff that's not written on that paper that all of you do all over this city, that is part of being disciples and making disciples of Jesus. And there's no way we could write that down. It's just fantastic. And then last week, Steve talked about the sometimes thankless grunt work that goes into being a church. And I wanted to just kind of mention a couple people, but the reality is, it takes a lot of work just to be able to gather together. And Drew makes coffee. And that is a blessing when we come on Sunday. Yeah? And Jen and Patty and Courtney, organize Sunday school and figure out what kind of curriculum and try to get teachers. And anybody that has kids will agree, that is a blessing. And Dennis organizes who's going to clean the church. And there's an army of people that come and clean the church. And that's a blessing. And Josh and Dina, they buy paper towels and toilet paper and figure out what we need, run sound, and do all kinds of things. And there's, I could go around the room and mention all kinds of people. But the reality is there's a lot of grunt work that doesn't even feel spiritual, and it doesn't even feel like really important, that just goes into like making it possible for us to gather, making it possible for us to be together and experience something. And so it's not very glamorous to be like, hey, come and sign up to be a Sunday school teacher and mop the floors once every month. It's like, I thought I was going to follow Jesus, but that's a piece of it. And so anyways, that's just kind of where we've been in this series and kind of where I'm at. And so this week, the title of this message is Come Together. And that is a Beatles song. And so I thought maybe we should sing a little bit of it. I don't know if it's like a totally, if I don't know what the lyrics mean, so I apologize if they mean anything bad, but you probably won't ever hear Beatles at church. So anyways, you guys can sing with me if you like, but here come old Flat Top, he come grooving up slowly, he got juju eyeballs, he won holy roller, he got hair down to his knees, got to be a joker, he just do what he please. All right, come together now over me. We need Tim on the air base. All right, some of you guys were like, this is ridiculous. I can appreciate that. That was ridiculous. The call to come together is not ridiculous. And so last week after I shared at the airport, a gal came up to me and said, what you shared is exactly something I was reading about from this European group, and they described it as a triangle. And so I was like, oh, I like that. So I got a picture of a triangle, and this is an impossible triangle. And I feel like this, what I'm sharing, is an impossibility without the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a call to come together, and we're going to look at three areas of that triangle. But it's also a call to realize that we need God for this. We need His power. And this is His thing, not ours. And so if you just, let's pray, and I'm going to share some thoughts. So Heavenly Father, thank You for this morning. God, we come before You, almighty, powerful, awesome God. We are smaller than a speck in Your world, and yet You love us. Thank You. Thank You, Father, that You care about us. Thank You that we could come into Your presence. Thank You that You would invite us in. Thank You for giving us family and friends. Thank You for uniting us together. Thank You for what You're doing here on earth. God, I thank You for this opportunity. I ask that You would teach us and speak to us. Holy Spirit, please move in us as You see fit. Lead us and work in us. And God, I lift up the airport church as well. I ask that You would give Steve words to share, that You would anoint him and give him power. Yeah, I lift up our brothers and sisters in other churches, just a few by name. I ask that You would move in Harvest Christian this morning, that You would bless their worship of You and their fellowship, Coronado Baptist, Grace Bible Fellowship, the Healing Place, just some of the ones that I've heard about around. Thank You for our brothers and sisters all over this city and all over this world who are gathered, who desire to walk with You. I ask that you would strengthen your church. I ask that you would strengthen your people to continue to chase after you, to follow you, to follow you when it's hard, to find you in the fear. Come and be with us. Come and teach us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first part of this triangle to me is the most important. It's just a call to Almighty God. And so our call, first of all, is to God. And this is a door. And the door on the left represents a way to God that is by rules. And the way through that you get through this door is by something called works. And if you do all the right things and say the right things and follow the code, you can get through the locks and enter the door. And this is not the door that we come to in Christ. We come to God through grace. And grace is a gift. Grace is favor that we don't deserve. And it was given to us by Jesus. And Jesus died and poured out his blood, let his blood be spilled, and paid a debt that we owed, and allowed us to enter through this door of grace because of him. And there's an invitation for all who would believe, and we enter that door through faith. Not by works, but by faith. And we walk through and we enter into God's kingdom and into his presence and into a relationship with him. And anyone who desires can enter through the door of grace because Jesus has opened it. And yet I've just been thinking, you enter through the door, but you enter into to where God is, Almighty God. And if you read about people who have encountered God in a really profound way, Daniel, Ezekiel, John, they fell on their faces as if dead. And there's this reality that we don't just come in like, oh, there's something for me. We come into the presence of a holy God. And in God's kingdom, he remains king. He is the king of that kingdom. And I think there's a part of us that wants a God who's really powerful, but it's like a genie. And he'll just do whatever we want. And we can kind of say, hey, I need this, I want this. But that's not who God is. We enter to a relationship with God and we find the most profound love, the most profound forgiveness and grace, and yet he is the king and not us. When Jesus was on earth, he called people to follow him. In Matthew 16, these words have like gone through my mind so many times over the last 20 years. The call of Jesus is humbling. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. So when I read stuff like this, I like to break it down a little. So Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, It's a call to come and follow. To not just receive, but to yield your life. And following is like, I don't know, come. It's, I don't know if it's too popular nowadays. Let him deny himself. There's a certain amount of letting go of some things in our lives that are important to us, that like define us. Letting go of ourself and just letting God kind of take that place. And to take up his cross. And the cross was just a tool of death, an instrument of death. And to take up kind of that willingness to die, that willingness to let go, not just of the day we die, but to let go of our lives and control and kind of things we hang on to, and to follow me. It's like, wow, what an amazing call. What's beautiful is a lot of people did. They followed Jesus. There's some challenging things in that. It's like, there's a cost to be weighed in that. And then he tells us, for whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And there's an amount of like, you let go of all of these plans and dreams and things that are like, I need this. And then you find what you were really created for. You find something much deeper and richer and satisfying. And you find life, eternal life. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? That's such a wonderful question. What good would it be to have everything in the entire world that you could dream of and yet forfeit your own soul, your own being, your inner being? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Nothing. For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in his glory, in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. There is a reward. It is not just a come and die, but come and surrender and find something greater. Find a reward that is so much better than whatever you put in. It's an investment with fantastic returns. 100-fold returns. So I just wrote down a few things about a relationship with God. To me, this is, I'll probably speak about this all the time. I just find that our relationship with God is the most important thing in life. And in Him we find forgiveness, we find newness, belonging, trust. And it requires trust on our part. It requires us to follow. To really grow in that relationship, we must follow. We can't just try to have God on our terms all the time. You must enter in and follow to really know God in a deeper level. We find love and experience love and give love. Worship. Not just singing, but worship of acknowledging that God is worth it in word and in deed. Just some different scriptures I think are fantastic. Whoever comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. You must believe that He exists. You must believe that He rewards in order to come to Him. Otherwise, you never will. You'll never enter in. You'll stay at arm's length. I don't know if He'll really reward me. I don't know if He's even really there. And by faith, we enter into that relationship and walk in that relationship. His love is better than life. Everything else is rubbish. It's a nice word. Compared to knowing Jesus. You believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. These are ways different people have described their relationship with God. And so together, as we have this relationship with God through grace, through faith in what He's done. We have a call to one another. And as we come together, that's called the church. And the church is the entire family of God. And it stretches all over this globe. And yet, pieces of that church meet in smaller groups. And so it's kind of a call to both. It's a call to our brothers and sisters all over this city and this world. And it's a call to each other right here. And so we are all brothers and sisters, but it's kind of like we're brothers and sisters, and then we have a lot of cousins outside, in a sense. Because we're still related, and there's still some beautiful depth of connection. And yet, you can't love everybody in the whole world, practically. And so we are in smaller families, smaller bodies. In Colossians 2, 12 through 15, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," I love that intro, it's so cool, "clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." So, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, by having a new identity when we come into relationship with God, this is who we are. Because we now belong, if you have put your faith in Christ, you now belong to the family of God. You should live in a new way. And there's so much in the Bible that's talking about how should we live in this new way. What does that look like? What are the instructions? "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." It's a big deal how we interact with one another. We should bear with each other. We should forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, and those happen, we will have grievances against one another. We're human. We've been transformed with His Spirit, and yet we still have wrestles. "Forgive as the Lord forgave you," freely, completely, "and over all these virtues, put on love." And so, God's church is supposed to love each other. That's what the flavor should be of this love of unity and like actually walking out in that love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace." So the church is described as a family. We are a family, and God is our Father. He's the Father of the entire family. Christ is our brother, and we are also a body. And in that body, Jesus is the head of the body, and then there's all different parts of that body. And His body works and moves and does amazing things here on this planet as each of those pieces work together. You were called to peace and be thankful. So just a couple of I was just reading about the church on the internet, and Mike Taylor, he's in England, I think, but it says it's not just a matter of getting together in a cafe every Sunday. The church is the army of God, the family of His sons and daughters. It is a temple, a priesthood, and a nation. It is the body of Christ and will be His bride. He's pretty crazy about us. Yeah. It's crucial that we do not allow the church to decay into any of the possible church substitutes, which is the natural outcome if it's allowed to become a human thing. Social clubs, I feel in my own life just that fear and that tendency. I like you guys. I would enjoy just hanging out with you guys. Let's just get together and, I don't know, play cards and go fishing. I don't know. I haven't gone fishing, but and just do something. I'll go golfing with Marty. But there's something more to it. There's something bigger. Missional organizations, prayer support groups. Man, that's a beautiful thing. Bible schools. Yes, all these are such beautiful things. They're all good things, but they're not the church. They are only tiny facets of the whole, and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And so all these pieces of the body working together make this entity that's the church that is like supposed to be ridiculously amazing. It's supposed to proclaim even in the heavenly realms who God is. It's like phenomenal. And so we are a family together, those who have put their faith in Christ. And so the word church does not mean a building. It's never used that way. It says we are the building. We are being built together. It is not just an event that happens. And I use these all the time. I'll be like, well, that's a cool church. And hey, I'm going to church. This isn't really church. We are the church. So it's not just a meeting, but it's the people. We are the church. We are the representation of God's grace. One of the definitions of the church that we've used is a family, a body, an army rooted in faith, hope, and love. And so, over the years, that's been really awesome for us. There's been people in our family, our church family, who have blessed us so much. And there's something really cool about that. And it really honors God. And part of that body is seen here on Sunday as people do all kinds of different things that make this happen. And then a big part of it happens outside of this. And so when my wife was sick and overwhelmed, and Lori came and brought her a frozen meal for that night. That's living like a family. And when my son kicked our window out with a soccer ball, and there's glass on our carpet, and our vacuum cleaner doesn't work, and Beth gives my wife a vacuum cleaner, that's being a family. And when I'm having a hard day, and I send a text out, and people pray for me, that's being a family. And when Mark calls me yesterday and tells me what's going on in his life and I get to pray with him, that's being a family. And there's something that's just, that's part of what God has called us to, is to be a family. And I could probably go through and just talk about all people all over. You guys are a fantastic family. And the amount of connections and support and love that happens in this family is wonderful. And you guys have refreshed me, and you refresh one another all the time. And keep doing that. That is such an honor to God. And that, so there's a call. Come and be a part of the family. Come and be part of it. And donate your stuff for the garage sale, you know. I don't know. But it's something big, you know. And it's these little tiny acts, but together it creates something. This is going to be Brian's last week with us. And so Brian Smith and Taylor's going to be around a little longer. Is that right? And his wife have been with us for a couple years? Just 1 year. Wow. It feels like longer, and yet it went fast. And so he asked if he could just share something. I thought it would tie in right now really well. And these guys have really been a blessing to us. And those of you that have an opportunity to know them, you guys have just been a joy. Thank you for being a part of our family. And may God bless you on the next step of your journey. And may you continue to find family to live as family with in the body of Christ. But come on up, Brian, if you want to share a couple things.
Hey guys. So my name is Brian Smith. I travel for my job. I build power plants. And so there's only one or two in a city, and we build them, and then we move on. And I've been here about 54 weeks. I've counted. I've enjoyed every week, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm heading out actually tomorrow morning. And my main thing I wanted to get across today was just thank you. I think a lot of you guys have touched our lives in a lot of different ways, from the moms, from the younger ladies teaching our kids in Sunday school, family photos, mechanic stuff. I mean, it's just been awesome. And I really do appreciate it. And then getting a bit more specific was with the home groups. Are we good? All right. Up close? There we go. Just with the growth groups and the home groups, I mean, it's one of those things where I've been asked multiple hundreds of times to go to one, and finally went to one, and it's uncomfortable and awkward to go to at first, guys. It's one of those things where we invite you, and my first thought is, nope, I ain't going to do it, I'm not coming to your house. And then I get the courage to say, all right, we'll do it, and I'll get the wife and kids together, and we'll drive by, and if there's no one else there, we'll just kind of scope it out, and we'll scoot on past, and come back. And then we get to the point where we're in front of the house and we're like, all right, what's our cue to leave? It's like, we'll do the ear tug or something. If they look weird, we're jumping out windows or something like that. And it's like everything great has a price, guys. I mean, going to one of these growth groups to do life together, it's going to cost something. It's going to cost a night of your week, a few hours. It's going to cost you being uncomfortable for a little bit. But, man, it's worth it. I mean, I've been with Tom and Cynthia and John and Jen and a bunch of others, Mark. I mean, it's been awesome. It's been really cool. Our kids enjoy it. We've enjoyed it. Just we shed tears. We celebrate together. We encourage one another. It's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to do life alone. And so going into these little growth groups and connecting, I mean, that's where it's at. And so I appreciate everything. Appreciate this church. Appreciate the growth group. Appreciate the leadership. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, thanks, Brian. All right, so I guess we're going to kind of talk about the army a little more. The third call is just a call to the world. So a call first and foremost to God, a call to each other, and a call to the world. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And so that word reconciled is in there all the time. And so I just looked up the definition. Reconcile means to restore friendly relations between. And so through Christ, God is restoring friendly relations with people. And people can enter into a relationship where they become new and different. And he is making peace. He's extending that to people. So if we go through this, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's beautiful. We become new as we have faith and come to God. He transforms us. And a big part of that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit within us transforms us, gives us new thoughts, new ways of being. The old has passed away. Behold, new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us. So he restored us back to relationship. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So we have this ministry, we have this assignment, this job to extend reconciliation to people that are far from God. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, people far away from Him. He's bringing them back, not counting their trespasses against them, wiping away that debt, not holding grudges, not holding anything back, but allowing people to come through the payment of Christ. And He entrusted to us this message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ. We beg you. We plead with you. Please, please come and be in a relationship with God. Come and be, come back. Come and find peace with God. And we offer that. We offer that word of life, and we want to extend that. And there's some challenges in being ambassadors and being an army. One of them, I think, is that we get this mentality of like, I was going to change that picture to a soccer game, but we get this mentality of like, we're trying to fight other people, kind of like us against them, like it's God's family against whoever else's family. And it's really not that case. It's not that we are trying to like prove we're stronger, better, smarter, anything. But we are actually trying to invite people in. Come and be with God. Come and be a part of God's family. The other risk I see is just we are not supposed to just become like the world. You don't send an ambassador to another country in the hopes that they will become that nationality. But they keep that nationality that they have. They keep that, I am a part of God's family. I am a citizen of His kingdom. And I'm not just going to go and become just like everybody else in this world or lose my sense of belonging to God my Father. And we're not an army in the sense of like try to beat people down or take hostage. We're an army of spiritual power. And the spiritual armor is always really cool to read about. But the strength that we have in faith and salvation, righteousness, and truth in the Spirit and in the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us and is extended to other people. So we have a call to the world. I think it would be easy to come into God's family and then just be content and just like stay with God's people and just like, I don't know, love each other and go to each other's birthday parties and like, you know, do all that good stuff and just forget about the rest of the world that's suffering and hurting. And there's a call of us as we're together to, in one sense, let go of some of that good and reach out into this dark place and to reach out to the poor and hurting. And some of you guys are fantastic examples to me. And those of you that desire to really tangibly help the poor, Glenn going to Africa, the Parses going to Africa, Papua New Guinea, going to the jail, Bruce going to the jail, just people like, and all of us in our lives, we have contact with people. And some of you guys are extremely intentional and bring the love of Christ as you go out. And I think that's part of it is like, we come and we strengthen each other and then we send each other out. We go out, I go out to the school I'm in, hoping not just to get swallowed up, but to actually be a light and actually proclaim Christ there. And a call to bring good into this world, to not just be greedy with God's goodness, but freely we've received, freely give, and to bring good into this world, to not let it just be about our selfishness, but to extend God's goodness to others. and ultimately to help people come to God through Jesus. Not just materially help them, but also to, in a spiritual, bring them into the relationship. And in all of these, I desire to grow. I desire to grow in my faith. Just yesterday, as I was praying through this, I feel like God is calling me to step out in faith in some ways that I haven't. And I don't know, to not be afraid, to not shrink back. But it will cost us something. All right, so I'm just going to kind of reiterate those 3 points. We enter by grace and walk in a relationship with by grace. We share together in grace. And we bring God's grace outward to this world. So that's kind of the triangle, these 3 parts. And we become disciples and live as disciples. We walk together as disciples. And then we help others become disciples. And so, just to have those different pieces together. And so, why does a group come together? I thought someone else shared this with me. I thought it was good. We come together because beliefs that we have in common, primarily our faith in God through Christ, a mission that they share, and relationships that they value. And I have found all of those in my walk with God, and it has been a huge, huge blessing. So today is Mother's Day. I wanted to give flowers to all of the women in the church. And so whether or not you're a mom, we have some flowers. And so those of you that are moms, thank you for your hard work. I know sometimes it's kind of thankless, and sometimes it's kind of messy, and sometimes it's never ends. And so thank you for being a mom. And so hopefully the Sunday school is going to bring, are they coming? I don't know. We sent the secret message, but they're not here. Yeah, the ear tug, Brian, it's not working. Why don't we pray, and then they'll have flowers, and they're going to hand them out if later you want a different color. If there's others, you can swap it out. But all right, Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're doing. I thank you so much that I could come and have a relationship with you, that you would receive me with all my junk and selfishness and pride and fear and just all of my stuff and how I fight you and want to be the king. And thank you that you just receive me and wipe it all away. Thank you that we can walk in faith. I thank you for uniting us in a family. Teach us how to walk and live as a family in love. God, I thank you for the privilege of being your ambassadors. I thank you for the privilege, even though it's like sheep going out to wolves. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us power and that does the real work. God, I ask that you would embolden us, give us courage to share your message and to share your love, not counting the cost, or if we do, realizing it's worth it. It is such a joy to be a part of your plan. Lead us and teach us in the depths of each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.